30 years ago, a bird native to California was on the brink of extinction. Known for its impressive size, the California condor has been the target of recovery efforts ever since. FM 89's Laura Tsutsui recently visited a release site in Kern County to see the birds and learn how recovery efforts have hit a new milestone.
At the Bitter Creek National Wildlife Refuge, two adult California condors are perching on what the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service call a flight pen. We're standing on a hill within a fenced enclosure, and in the center is a huge cage with nine condors inside. All but one of these vulture-like birds are juveniles. Their bald heads are black, not yet the reddish pink that the adult condors sitting outside the pen have. Steve Kirkland is the field coordinator for the service's condor recovery program.
The wingspan is 9.5 feet, which is probably almost as wide as like a Volkswagen Bug. When they soar closely over your head, you can hear wind moving through their feathers.
You never start at the beak end. You always move your hand away from the beak.
Joseph Brandt is the supervisory wildlife biologist with the program. He's teaching an intern how to hold a condor so he can attach ID tags and GPS units to the birds.
They don't have vocal cords, so they don't have a call, but they do make sort of guttural, they can move air and they can sort of hiss and grunt.
That's Josh Felch, a biologist with the program, demonstrating the condor noises. Members from the Condor Recovery Program are at Bitter Creek to visit new condors that just arrived at the refuge from a hatchery in Idaho. In a few weeks, six of the birds at Bitter Creek will be released into the wild.
So at one time, condors were, at very, very low numbers in the early 1980s. In fact, their wild population was only about 22 birds in the wild and only one in captivity.
When the Condor Recovery Program began, all condors were brought into captive breeding programs. And now, decades later, biologists are defining the final stages of recovery. Wild condor populations are growing, and they're flying and nesting in areas they haven't used in decades. Historic nesting areas of California condors include the foothills and mountains in what are now Fresno and Tulare counties. The birds would fly south into Kern and Ventura counties and up the coast of California, creating a U-shaped range. Condors have been introduced to the wild from Bitter Creek Refuge and the Big Sur area, returning them directly to their coastal and southern historic nesting areas. Recently, biologists have noticed that condors are repopulating more areas in central California. 20 years ago, this would not have been possible. Today, the state hosts a population of 160 condors. Together with wild birds in Arizona and Mexico, the total population of California condors is around 440 birds. Brandt says they don't know what a healthy number of condors in the wild is because condor populations have declined since humans settled in California. Historic records show that California condors used to live throughout the state and Northwest. Even Lewis and Clark recorded seeing them during their expeditions.
When Europeans came to the West, they really had an impact on ecosystems, and one of those impacts affected the food sources of condors.
Condors are scavengers that eat carrion. They'll eat meat that died from natural causes or was killed. They don't hunt like other carnivores. Brandt calls them nature's cleanup crew. Because of their diet, activities like hunting and ranching are helpful for the birds. That can mean their dinner. But lead poisoning from consuming lead ammunition has been a prevalent cause of death for condors.
The population modeling that we've done, lead is really the thing holding condors back from becoming self-sustaining.
Brandt says that their work includes educating and reaching out to hunters and ranchers to make areas safer for condors to repopulate. Jennifer Wesson with the Fresno Chaffee Zoo says that the Condor Recovery Program demonstrates the success of collaborating with these local players.
Sometimes it's an outreach that will save an animal, such as when the pesticides were thinning eggshells for birds. We had problems with that. Lead poisoning is another issue. That was an example of just getting out some education, getting out the outreach, getting people to change their habits.
At Bitter Creek, a condor sitting on the flight pen spreads its wings and takes off. In a few weeks, the newly GPS-tagged birds in the flight pen will join the wild population, and Brandt hopes for a successful transition.
This is the recovery program, so our goal is to recover the species such that we no longer need to manage them as intensively.
The largest flying bird in North America might someday sustain itself without humans, but it could be some time until then.
I think we're kind of at a point where we're going to start defining what recovery, what actual, no longer threatened, but what actually recovery would be for the condor. I don't think that, you know, this is going to happen in a year or two, but I think 10 years from now, we'll probably be a long way down that road in kind of understanding what the numbers and what recovery would look like, and also achieving recovery.
So maybe you shouldn't be surprised if you see a black bird with a 9-foot wingspan on your way into the mountains. And as recovery continues, maybe someday you can expect it. Reporting from Maricopa, I'm Laura Satsui.